Good afternoon. It's just gone 12 o'clock, and that means it's time for the MoneyWeb at Midday show. I'm Warren Thompson, and welcome back from the weekend. It's been a very interesting day thus far on the JSE. We've got a German investors looking to acquire Murray & Roberts, and certainly lots of developments around Steinhoff with the announcement that the audit committee is seeking more compensation for the work that it's currently engaged in with respect to the investigation by PwC. But we'll be taking a little bit of a different tack this morning. We will be talking to Armand Kirsten, Head of Relations and Public Affairs from the Dutch Investors Association, VEB. He was out here last week visiting institutional investors in Johannesburg and Cape Town, and he will give us a very concise summary of the legal action that they have instituted already against Steinhoff. So that will be coming up. And then in the second half of the show, our market commentator is Petri Reerlinghuis, the founder of Aurenia Capital. He'll be joining me via telephone to discuss the trading action on the JSE, which has been a little bit disappointing today thus far. I see that the JSE at the moment is down almost 0.75%. So we'll be getting Petri's thoughts on what's weighing on the market today. But just remember that this show is being brought to you by Chartered Accountants of South Africa, leaders in business. When we return, we will be discussing the interview I conducted with Armand Kirsten.
MoneyWeb has a unique opportunity for financial advisors. Through our Click & Advisor offering, advisors can interact with a growing investor-based audience and attract new clients. To find out more, visit www.moneyweb.co.za.
All right, as I mentioned, I had a meeting the other day with Armand Kirsten, Head of Relations and Public Affairs at the Dutch Investors Association. They are funding litigation against Steinhoff, and they have already instigated action against the company by issuing a writ of summons in the form of a class action lawsuit that was filed on the 2nd of February in the Amsterdam District Court. This is under Section 305A of Dutch company law. It's being done in the Netherlands because, of course, Steinhoff International Holdings is incorporated and has its seat in Amsterdam. And this is what Armand Kirsten had to tell me just a few days ago.
VEB is the Dutch Investors Association. We're an association, so that means we have a membership. I should like to stress that we are a not-for-profit organization. Our statutory objective is protecting the interests of the investor community at large. As such, VEB has varied activities. We do not only, and we do not predominantly litigate, we also engage on behalf of our investors with stock-quoted companies. We teach, so we instruct, for example, investors on how to invest. We have, therefore, a wide array of activities.
You in particular have, I would say, a very good argument for this action because Steinhoff International Holdings is a Dutch company as such. But give us a little bit of information around what this writ of summons contained and where you think it will ultimately lead in terms of either legal due process or a negotiated settlement.
Let's start by saying it's a class action lawsuit. So under something within the Dutch process law, we have issued this writ of summons. In the writ of summons, we allege that Steinhoff has misled the investor community through, one, their annual accounts. The reason for that is quite clearly the annual accounts have had to be withdrawn, and in fact also the auditors have gone on the record stating you may not rely on these annual accounts. Two, that Steinhoff has misled the investor community by its prospectus that was issued at the launch of the shares at the Frankfurt and the Joburg stock exchanges, and three, that Steinhoff has breached certain obligations it has under the European Market Abuse Directive. The Market Abuse Directive directly applies in the Netherlands and forces companies to come out with disclosures of information they hold when they know that information may possibly affect the share price.
The company has, as I understand it, until the end of April to respond.
You understand that correctly.
Following that, though, what ultimately do you think will happen? Is the given, I think, the admission by the company and the company's auditors, you would expect at some point that this would then take on the some form of negotiated settlement.
You use the word ultimately, so I take you on upon that. Absolutely. We expect, and that's also why we're in this, that the company at some stage will open up to entering into settlement negotiations with us.
Give us a quantum of what sort of size damages could be sought in this particular case.
That is a very difficult question to give a reply to. What I can say is that if you look at our track record, so if you look at the cases that we have been litigating, we have been extremely successful in really arriving at very, very advantageous settlements. But it would be speculation to say now what the quantum might be.
I think while the quantum would be very uncertain to speculate on what will ultimately or could ultimately be settled, there is a pretty precise way of defining the damages that investors have incurred in Steinhoff.
There is a pretty precise way of doing that. However, various investors, or the investors at large, may have had varying circumstances. For example, the holding periods, they are important. So there may also be all matter of technicalities that could influence the damages that they've ultimately incurred.
You've got a very good track record, as you alluded to earlier, of very sizable settlements. And I'm just casting my eye down here in terms of compensation. Fortis, 1.3 billion euro settlement.
Indeed.
Ahold, 1.1 billion US dollars. Dexia, 1.1 billion euro. And there's some big names here that South Africans would be familiar with. Shell, Unilever, World Online. And especially one that caught my eye in terms of one that is pending is Volkswagen. Just give us perhaps the difference in your the way you run legal action like this versus some of the other parties that would be or are currently suing Steinhoff in various capacities.
Picking you up on the very last bit of your statement there, your question, we are not aware yet that any other parties have already launched formal proceedings against Steinhoff. The biggest distinguisher between us and the other parties taking up action against Steinhoff is that we are not in this for any commercial purpose. We are a not-for-profit organization. We defend the interests of the investor community at large. We are not financed by third parties. We take care of the financing of all the costs related to the action we undertake ourselves.
Okay, and that's quite an important point. That's also resulted in a bit of a difference in your structure, where you actually use in-house lawyers to pursue these actions.
Precisely. We actually employ the solicitors, who are, by the way, admitted to the Dutch bar, who have this great experience that is, if you will, proven by the track record we've just been talking about. In-house, these lawyers are on fixed salaries, employed by VEB. They're not in this as partners of a law firm to make a profit for themselves.
One question I had is, you're obviously out here along with some of your other executive members.
Absolutely.
What is the purpose of your visit to South Africa, and how has it progressed?
The most important purpose we have is to engage in person with our partners or prospective partners, to address their concerns and to make sure that we also fully understand what makes them tick.
Okay. And how has your trip been received so far? I presume you've met some of the country's largest institutional investors that have been investors in Steinhoff. Have they been open and engaging?
You may
engaging?
Bet on that. What I can say is it's really, really been very, very pleasurable. Indeed, they have been open. We've had some very, very good discussions. But we're also perfectly aware, through being here, what the anger and the frustration is in South Africa. And that's something, of course, we take into our stride.
We've got, I think, many losses sustained by South African investors. The one last question I just wanted to ask you is if, when and how would someone get VEB to represent them in terms of any losses that they've sustained as a result of their investment in Steinhoff?
On the when, this is already actually happening, because by having initiated the class action lawsuit, we represent the interests of all investors in Steinhoff, even if we haven't got any clear mandate from any of those parties yet. How? We do that through with the institutional parties, I should stress, through a so-called partnership agreement. And under the partnership agreement, we agree with them that we will conduct the action on their behalf if they register for it, and that if there is an actual award of damages made to such parties, but only if and when, we would like to take a 9% success fee.
That was Armon Kirsten, Head of Relations and Public Affairs for the Dutch Investors Association, VEB. Right, time to have a look at the markets today. The All Share just starting to tick back and recover a little bit, down 0.5% at the moment. And it's pretty much red across the bourse. We've got industrials down 0.5%, financials marginally in the red. And then gold mining down 0.2% and resources down 1%. In terms of shares trading hands, behind Naspers today, we have the First Rand Group, 295 million rands worth of shares changing hands there, and MTN, followed by Standard Bank. Very interesting to see that the Rand is really having a great day today. It's trading at 11.64 against the US dollar. It's up 1.75%. And against the pound, up 0.75% to 16.54. The euro also 0.75% stronger there at 14.44. Gold's been having a better day today, up 1.5% to $1,348. Platinum's at $952 an ounce, slightly in the green. And palladium down 0.25% to $982 an ounce. Joining me now on the telephone is Petri Redlinghuis. He's the founder of Herenia Capital. How are you today, Petri?
Not bad, thank you. Thank you for having me, Warren.
This market's lost its buzz. We got over the 60,000 point mark a few months ago, and then it's just been beaten down with all sorts of wonderful developments on the corporate governance front. Obviously, Steinhoff leading the way there, but now we're seeing Resilient Group Stable down, perhaps some more on the way. What do you make of the market at the moment?
Well, there's also Naspers is putting a bit of pressure on us. That being such a big heavyweight in our index, is putting the top 40 index at least under pressure. So as you mentioned, we've come down from the highs over the last couple of weeks, or since that we saw sort of in January, and we're trading close to the bottom of that range. So I don't know. I'm generally ever the optimist, but I'm starting to turn a little bit pessimistic. I think now with Moody's keeping us unchanged, changing the outlook to stable on Friday night is tremendously good. But the downside to that is that all this rand strength is obviously hurting the dual listed and the rand hedges, commodities companies and so on. So that's putting a little bit of pressure on the index. So even though the index itself is coming down, the prospect for South Africa is looking a lot better. And the reason the index is coming down is obviously just because so many of our companies earn in foreign currency. On the surface, it looks as if things are perhaps not reacting the way that they should be, but banks and retailers are actually not doing too badly. Although, you know, given the fact that everything is red, banks and retailers are some of the only ones that are actually performing somewhat okay on the day. Everything else just seems to be under pressure. The market feels a little quiet. I think a lot of the action and a lot of the surprise, if you want to call it that, has been priced into the market before the news came on Friday night. So it's almost now, you know, the news is over. There's no more catalyst.
And in your view, is it probably unlikely that we'll ever get downgraded now to that double, the double whammy with two of those three big rating agencies considering our local currency ratings as junk?
I wouldn't say it would be absolutely unlikely. I mean, we don't necessarily know what the outcome is going to be. However, you know, we have to see. I think the likelihood of that downgrade is a lot less at the moment. But, you know, barring some sort of a major catalyst that we shoot ourselves in the foot, I don't think anything negative will happen at this point. So I think for now, we are relatively on the safe side. I think now the focus shifts to really implementation of a lot of the policies that we've heard so much talk about, as well as a continuation of the GDP growth that we have been seeing in the last couple of sort of non-print, so we've data prints that have come up.
Okay, so we're just waiting on some of those GDP numbers and sales figures. But any results that have impressed you over the last week or so, Petri?
Nothing really. I'm just keeping an eye on this Naspers situation. And other than that, I mean, the only real thing I'm looking forward to is the dividends. Tomorrow, the MTN's last day to trade for a 4.50 dividend, which is quite a juicy one. Other than that, it's been a bit of a quiet period over the last couple of days, and I think going into Easter weekend we'll probably have a bit of a dull market as well. Now with sign-off sort of coming back to the surface, there might be a bit of volatility there, but the stock is now too high risk for me to really be too involved in.
And I see just continues to slump there. I'm just going to have a quick look at see what Steinhoff has done today. You mentioned that we've seen that continued seller from Naspers. I mean, at what stage do you think that share becomes attractive?
Yeah, I think it's a bit of a tough situation, really, because Naspers in itself, with the sale of the stake that they have in Tencent, they're selling, 6% of their holding, which is about 2% of the whole company. So that should reduce the valuation on the rump by about 100 rand, which means that the discount that Naspers is trading against Tencent should reduce by about 100 rand, which isn't really that much. I think now with the accelerated book build that we see in Tencent, in order to place all that stock, which we've now obviously seen placed already, the stock was taken within 12 hours, if you want to call it that. I think that we do see a little bit more pressures. I think the focus shifts away so much from Tencent in itself. But, you know, we have to remember that there's this trade war that's happening between China and America. Now, for now, they're sort of just firing pellet guns at one another. A lot of the tech companies are manufacturing their products in China. So if this trade war really gets going, I think tech companies could potentially get hurt. So I'm expecting a little bit of weakness, a little bit of softness still in some of these tech counters. Also, if I look at the U.S. market, it does seem as though we're also back at the sort of lows that we've seen earlier this year. We're back at the 200-day moving average. If we break down through here, then we might see a continuation of this correction that we've been seeing. So I'm not necessarily too – I think we're almost at a very sort of a tipping point. I'm a little bit more pessimistic than what I am optimistic at this point. I do think that we've continued to come down. Disclaimer, I do have a short position open on the alls at the moment. I think that in the short term we come down. Overall, I mean, nothing really has changed fundamentally in the macroeconomic picture. So there's no real reason for our market to crash or to enter into a recession. But in the short term, I do think that technical and analysis perspective that we should continue to come down for the next couple of weeks.
Okay, very interesting there. So a technical basis there, Petri. We'll see how that pans out. But we'll thank you very much for your time today, and we'll see how that position goes.
Thank you very much. Apologies for the background noise.
No problem, Petri. That was Petri Redlinghuis, the founder of Arena Capital. Remember, this show is being brought to you by Chartered Accountants of South Africa, leaders in business.
Numerology studies tell us that numbers have symbolic meaning. Number 8 stands for success. 4 is stability, and 3 represents advantage. These qualities, over and above trust, ethics, and leadership, are embraced by CASA, the leading accounting, auditing, and tax business designation, underpinned by ethical standards, delivering responsible business leadership to take your business to number 1. Because business is more than just numbers. CASA, leaders in business.
And that's a wrap from us at the MoneyWeb at Midday team. Remember that our Afrikaans and English-speaking radio stations kick off with their business shows at 6 p.m. Be sure to tune into those. Until the same time tomorrow, cheers for now.